Nevertheless, she persisted. A mother who would not take no for an answer helps Jesus see that a boundary might need to be moved. And maybe that's where we need to begin today, with boundaries. You see, we humans are remarkably great at creating boundaries. We decide who's in and who's out, who belongs and who doesn't, who knows the rules and who doesn't know the rules, and sometimes we don't even know that we're doing it. I remember seeing this play out when my daughter was about 5. We were vacationing at my in-laws' condo, and there is this neighborhood of kids there. And she had made some friends with some boys there. And she was perfectly happy climbing trees and wading through the mud and looking for frogs and watching the snakes slither by and climb the trees with all the boys. Until one day, I don't know what happened. The boys got together and they had a meeting and they established this new rule. And there was all these trees there, and they were in one tree, and they put up a sign even. No girls allowed in this tree. None. Well, she couldn't do much about that. Like, what do you do about that? So being who she is and still is, she marched to the next tree, and she said, no boys allowed in this tree. Girls only. There was only one problem with this. The only other girl in the neighborhood was her 3-year-old sister, who had zero interest in being in her tree or even knowing that there were different trees. It was a pretty lonely club. Now, eventually, and it was slow, it wasn't like immediate, maybe then the next day or two, the boys decided that that was dumb and everybody started hanging out together. A boundary had been created, and then someone figured that this isn't fair. Everybody needs a time to climb trees together. And that is not so different than what's happening here in the gospel today. In the beginning of our scripture in Matthew, Jesus is arguing with religious leaders about what makes someone clean and unclean. And these religious leaders are worried that Jesus' disciples aren't following the proper rituals for eating. And right before this, by the way, was the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus said, you're kind of worried about the wrong things here. It isn't what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. It's what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. And then we don't know what happened, but in the Gospel of Matthew, immediately after this story, we get this story where Jesus encounters a Canaanite woman, someone who is unclean. And in the Gospel of Matthew, she is named a Canaanite woman, and that is important because that's an old enemy name. Matthew wants us to hear just how far outside the circle she is. This woman is a foreigner. She is a woman. She is from the wrong people, and she comes shouting, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by demons. And Jesus says nothing. And the disciples have an answer. Send her away. Boundary. And then Jesus says something even harder. He says, I have come for the lost sheep of Israel. And there it is again. A boundary. This is a mission. These are the people. This is where I've been sent. But the story doesn't end there. She persists. She comes closer. She kneels before him and she says, Lord, help me. And then comes a line in the Bible that I wish weren't there. Jesus says, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Ouch. We can try to soften that people have. Maybe Jesus is testing her. Maybe he's trying to teach the disciples something. Maybe there's irony in his voice that doesn't make it onto the page. But Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, doesn't tell us any of that. He simply gives us the conversation. And I wonder if perhaps we are allowed to see something wonderfully human in Jesus. Jesus has named the boundary of his ministry. I was sent to Israel. And this woman kneels before him and says, "Look again. Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." In other words, Jesus, I'm not asking to take anything away from anyone, but I believe there is enough. I believe God's mercy is so abundant that even the crumbs are enough. And Jesus listens. That's important. Jesus listens to her. "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." The story gives us another picture of strength. You see, Jesus listens. We are called to listen. We are called to encounter someone else's experience. We are called to recognize when a boundary doesn't need to be there and remove it. And that isn't weakness. That takes courage. In the Gospel of Matthew, right before the defile thing, like I said, was the feeding of the 5,000. Now that happened in Jesus's territory. All of Jesus's people were there when he fed the 5,000. Nobody at the meal had to show identification. Nobody had to prove that they believed correctly. No one had to demonstrate that they deserved that bread. Jesus saw hungry people and he fed them. And then comes this Canaanite woman standing literally and figuratively at the boundary of Jesus's ministry, insisting that God's mercy is bigger. And after this story, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus feeds 4,000 people. And this time, Jesus feeds 4,000 people outside of his territory, in Gentile territory, to people who didn't know him. Because the table is now getting bigger. The ministry is expanding. The circle is widening. Until finally, at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, the risen Christ tells his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." All nations, not just the people in this tree, not just these people, not just the ones who know what door to use or which song to sing or when to stand up or when to sit down or how church is supposed to work. All nations. And maybe the gospel is telling us a story about God's mercy breaking through every boundary we try to put around it. And maybe the Canaanite woman understands that before almost anyone else. Remember the disciples? They have watched Jesus calm storms, feed thousands of people, walk on water, and Jesus repeatedly calls them, "Ye of little faith." And this woman, an outsider, somehow sees immediately what others don't. What others struggle to understand. "Lord, Son of David," she says. She knows who he is. And she knows something else. There is enough. There is enough mercy. There is enough grace. There is enough forgiveness. There is enough love. There is enough room. And she is willing to settle for crumbs because she knows even a crumb of God's mercy can change everything. And here is the gospel. Here is the good news. God does not leave her under the table. "Great is your faith," Jesus says to her. Jesus hears her. Jesus listens to her. Jesus sees her. He encounters her. And he moves toward a table that is big enough for the whole world. And And that is good news for us. Because whether we care to admit it or not, we still build boundaries. Churches do it, communities do it, families do it. And sometimes we do it intentionally and sometimes we don't. It's not how we do things here. Those aren't our people. They don't belong in our tree. And Jesus keeps calling us to widen our circles. On this Polka Sunday, worshiping outside the walls of the church, and maybe that's pretty good to remind us of what the church is supposed to be. The gospel was never meant to stay safely within walls. God's table was never ours to guard. And God's grace was never ours to ration out, because there is enough. There has always been enough. There's enough for Israel. There's enough for the Canaanite woman. There's enough for 5,000. There's enough for 4,000 more. There's enough for the nations, and there's enough for you and me. And enough for the person you aren't quite sure belongs here. So perhaps our question isn't who deserves a place at God's table. Maybe our question is, where have we put up boundaries that God is asking us to move? Because the good news of Jesus Christ is that God's mercy keeps making the table bigger. And thanks be to God for that, because now there is room for all of us. Amen.